Okay, another little segment on forecasting. And I'll probably continue to make these little podcasts on forecasting and related topics, even if some of it's repetitive, because, of course, there's always new individuals coming across our stuff, and people tend to not take the time that they should to go into as much of the previous articles and or videos and podcasts as they can. They tend to take the easy, lazy approach, right? They want to jump to conclusions before they have all the material, all of the data. So I'll try and repeat some of this stuff to help fill in some of the gaps of the laziness out there. But so let's go ahead and talk about forecasting, right? Now, unless you're an experienced, and I mean really experienced and pretty damn good semi-professional or professional. And by the way, just because you're experienced, either semi-professional, amateur, or professional, doesn't mean you know what's going on. You know, I can remember coming across guys and they'd be like, oh, well, you know, how long have you been in the industry? That's kind of their comeback, right? When you kind of have a discussion about things and they know that they can't really debate you. And so they say, well, how long have you been in the industry? Well, I've been in 30 years. Oh, wow. Okay. So in other words, you know what's going on because you've been in the industry longer than me, right? Wrong. That's not true. Okay. You could be in the industry 100 years. And if you don't know what's going on, okay, then it'll be 100 years of not knowing what's going on. Some people are better than others. Some people work harder. Some people are more skilled. Some people have more luck, right? So I just want to make that point because I know there's some of you out there perhaps that think that you've been in the industry or you've been trading for a long time and you know this and you know that. Well, let me just tell you something. If you know so much, then then you're not going to get anything out of my research, because if you have that mentality that you know it all, you're not going to use your research appropriately, okay? You're not going to use it appropriately. And, you know, there's people that, you know, we'll come across every once in a while that are of that mindset. You know, many of you have to erase what you've learned and relearn things the right way, right? But anyway, let me move on and address this main point. And I was talking about that issue of professional, semi-professional, amateur, whatever, and being experienced and maybe not knowing as much as you think that you know, because it all relates to how to use the research. Now, there's a lot of research, right? Some of you get two of the newsletters, right? Some of you get one of the newsletters. So the point is this. How do you utilize the research the best way, right? Do you delve into everything? No. You go slow. You stick with the most basic, most simplistic conclusions and guidance from the research. And as you have more success, then you take a step forward. And you take another step forward, right? Gradually over time. So what do I mean by that? Well, let's say for the intelligent investor or market forecaster, of course, the market forecasting is in both of those, but the intelligent investor contains other things as well, such as securities. So let's just look at the market forecasting. Some of you may want to use market forecasting to help you manage your portfolio, right? Others may want to just keep it simple and trade the market ETF indices, right? Triple Qs. Right? Dow Diamonds. That's what I suggest, okay, when you start off. That's what I suggest. Why? Because the correlation is more direct, right? There's a much more direct correlation between the market forecasting and, you know, using that to trade the market indices or index ETFs, right? That's, of course, assuming the forecast is relatively accurate, right? Now, when you try and manage individual securities based on the forecast, sometimes it doesn't work out for you, does it? Why? Because there's other factors, other variables that influence the short-term aspect of a securities pricing, right? Something can happen fundamentally with the company and so forth. There's many, many things. So start out with the most basic thing. Similar for, say, Dividend Gems, which contains all securities. Now, we have over 40 securities on that list. It doesn't mean you buy them all. We have so many because there's going to be certain times when you don't want to buy some of those securities. There's going to be certain times to stay out of some of those securities, right? And there's a few of those now. Now, just because some of them are down doesn't mean you want to stay out. Sometimes that's the time to be accumulating them, right? So stick with the best, okay? Stick with the best. Stick with things that are less certain. And you can expand your horizons. You can expand how you utilize the research as you grow into it, okay? So you can also do the same thing with commodities, right? Precious metals and currencies, okay? And so, and one last thing I wanted to mention is that, you know, the price forecasts that we come up with, of course, for the securities, commodities, precious metals, foreign currencies, we always talk about entry level, exit level. Sometimes we'll break it down into re-entry at a certain price versus new positions. We'll even break that down further, whether it's partial position. We'll even talk about exit. We'll talk about a lot of different slices on how to buy and sell. And from that alone, you should understand that it's not cut and dry, you know, I'm just going to buy everything right then, right? We're giving different levels relative to whether it's a re-entry, whether you're aggressive, conservative, whether it's a new position, it's a partial position. Why? Because all this relates to risk, right, and asset management. But the point is this. Whenever we provide an entry level, an entry price for, I don't know, let's say AT&T, we say 33, okay? That's just a rough guideline. It's a rough gauge. You shouldn't expect it's going to happen. I don't have a crystal ball, right? That's just a something to start with, okay? That's kind of a rough guideline. We give some technicals you can go by as well. And other things, right? And of course, you should always adjust things to fundamentals of the company as well as the strength of the market, right? So the process is dynamic. Now, some of the older subscribers, I've probably been a little spoiled because our guidance for securities entry and exit as well as commodities has been pretty damn accurate, right? Been pretty damn accurate. So it seems as if this can be done. But I can tell you right now, that I don't know anyone else in the world who would even try to put out securities entries and exit once monthly. This is typically what's done for a trading service, right? Daily or every 2 or 3 days. Because, you know, being able to forecast something, you know, once a month is extraordinarily difficult. But this is not a trading service. This is investing, okay? It's active management. Sometimes you'll want to make a move and sometimes you don't, right? That's another thing. You don't always have to go by the guidance, right? Some of you are going to be more aggressive. Others are going to be more conservative, not have as much time as well to devote to this, right? So you want to stick with maybe, you know, if we're talking about starting to buy at a certain level, maybe you'll wait and wait and wait. And see if it goes a little lower. And if you miss it, it's okay. You've got another option, right? You have other alternatives to go to. So you need to understand how best to utilize the research. I can't really help you other than to give you this general guideline. But at the end of the day, it's up to you. You have to understand how to utilize things. And that is a reflection of your limitations, your investment objectives, and, you know, your ability to, you know, pull the trigger, right? There's no crystal ball, folks. There's none, okay?